"This just can't be," was all I could say. It was Palm Sunday, 1 year ago, and like most of you, I was at home. No palm branches, no church procession, no hosannas. I just sat there on the sofa, and then the tears rolled. I'm not sure if they were tears of despair or helplessness or rage, but after already 3 weeks of being shut down and having to put on my "we can do this" game face, I finally cracked and the pandemic got the best of me. Joe walked into the room and looked at me and very simply said, "Twyla, go to the church. It may be empty, but that's where you belong today." So I did, donning my very best pandemic sweatpants. I came out here, and I sat right about there where you're sitting, Tammy, and I read the Palm Sunday processional gospel for the day. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And I stopped. It felt so wrong. Here's the thing. It was so quiet. This place was like a tomb. It was as if the gospel itself had been quarantined. And then it was that I discovered this. I realized that there was a verse missing from the reading I was doing. Luke includes something in his processional gospel that neither Matthew, Mark, or John do. All four of the gospels tell the Palm Sunday story, and while they may vary slightly on donkey details or coats or cloaks or how the palm branches were actually used, only Luke's gospel includes this one very important detail. Luke adds this. "Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And Jesus answers, 'I tell you, even if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" And sitting there in almost the deafening silence, I remembered another time in my ministry when my ministry had also been silenced and the gospel seemed quarantined. Some of you have heard parts of this before, but I've never shared all of it. It was our first year of missionary service in Moscow, and we were silenced. Our hands were tied not only once, but twice. The first tying was done the very week we arrived. Boris Yeltsin had signed what had popularly become known as the religion law. And it was very simple. If your government was not registered with the Soviet government during communism, your church could not be an official church today. And if a missionary was not a part of the registered church, it was simple. They go home. Where did that law leave us? Our congregation, the Moscow Protestant Chaplaincy, did exist during the communist era, but only within the walls of the United States Embassy as a congregation for the diplomatic community. It was never, ever recognized by the Soviets as a church. Welcome to missionary service. This was not looking good. And then the second knot got tied a few months later. Ironically, this one was not tied by Boris Yeltsin, but it was tied by us and the United States Embassy. Together, we pounded out what was called a Memorandum of Understanding. And essentially, it said this. "We, the U.S. Embassy, will keep your church safely under our umbrella. And as long as we're caring for you, you can stay. But no, under no circumstances shall you preach the gospel to the Russian people. If you do, you jeopardize U.S.-Russian relationships. We drop our support of you, we close down your church, and you go home." I signed it. I signed myself into silence. I signed a document which said that I, a Lutheran missionary, will live in Russia but will not actively preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Russian people. I was gagged. Can the gospel be quarantined? Sure looked like it. And Jesus said, I tell you, even if these, my disciples, were silenced, the stones would shout out. So tell me, Jesus, how does that work? Friends in Christ, here is how it worked in Moscow. In my congregation, I was surrounded by 200 people from around the world who together were not content to be silenced. And so they served soup, borscht, and grechka, buckwheat, and sirniki, cheese dumplings. And they served a lot of it. They served 1,500 meals each day, every day of the week. And they served it to babushki, Russian grandmothers to whom the Communist Party had once promised a retirement of bread, butter, eggs, a home, a telephone, and an annual vacation if only they faithfully served the Russian state in their lifetime. But in 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed, the babushki found themselves with only enough money in their monthly pension to buy a couple of loaves of bread. Forget the butter, the eggs, the telephone, and the annual vacation. Sto eto, they sneer. What is that? So how does a bowl of Russian peasant soup proclaim the silenced gospel to the Russian people? On the surface, the answer was, it doesn't. Indeed, among the Russian elderly in the cold of winter, it was very grim and a very dismal world. But just as a single light of a candle can change a darkened room, a bowl of soup takes on a whole new meaning in an empty stomach. In the bitter cold, one bowl took the bite out of frostbite. In the bleak economy, and it was bleak, one bowl removed the ache from hunger pangs. And if served with a smile and a touch, one bowl could restore dignity to a battered nation of proud people. And if served in the name of Christ, one bowl had even a greater power. Though our hands were tied into that double knot of silence, the soup cried out in our stead, and our Russian babushki were not deaf to the cry. One day, one of the grandmothers broke the silence for us, not with her lips, but with her whole arthritic body. As she crossed the threshold of the soup kitchen to leave, she turned, looked back at us, eyes intense like cold steel, and she bowed deeply three times, each time crossing herself with the Russian Orthodox cross. Not one word was said. Not one word needed to be said, for anyone living in Russia recognizes that is the gesture that one makes upon entering and leaving a church. Through a bowl of soup, this woman had encountered Christ. She bestowed the same dignity on our sometimes cockroach-infested soup kitchen as she would on her icon-gilded church. And all of the grandmothers saw it. I tell you, Jesus says, even if these, my disciples, are silenced, the stones would cry out. So now it's been about a year since I sat in this silent building. And while our in-person celebrations may still be a bit subdued, the gospel of Jesus Christ has not been quarantined. And as we walk through the coming 7 days and we witness the very silencing of Jesus himself, we will also observe that no pandemic, no violent crowd, no memorandum of understanding can or will quarantine the gospel. Now, I'm not fooling myself. We, the church, have a bit of a challenge before us after this past year. But friends in Christ, this challenge is merely a part of the journey. Our risen Christ has promised that this challenge will never get the last word. Remember this. Even soup and stones can cry out the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.